welcome to Friends to the Ends on Planet 104.6 FM. Great to have you along tonight. As you know, this show is on a monthly basis. I've got Simon on his knobs again tonight, running the show, producing it for me. Welcome, Simon. Good to hear you.
You haven't heard me yet.
I have just now. It's very cool to hear that voice. And, of course, I always choose a topic of interest, and it's always about music because it's my show. I can call whatever song I like or topic I can have. And on this occasion, I've got two of my best friends, Peter O'Connor and Paul Ritchie, joining me tonight, and we're going to do a little bit of a nostalgic journey through time, going back to those days of the Big Day Out, which was an institution in New Zealand. So we're going to do a bit of reminiscing, talk about some of the old days and songs. But welcome, Peter. How are you?
Very good. Kia ora tātou. Welcome, everyone.
Oh, nice.
Looking
yes.
forward to the night.
Very good. That's good. Paul, how are you?
Good. I'm very well. Thanks, David.
Thank you. And I must say this. Thank you so much for making the effort to come up tonight and do a bit of reminiscing. I mean, it was always a bit of a worrying time for me when I not about this show tonight, but obviously when I went to go to the Big Day Out, I was very fortunate to find someone that could sell me a table. And I called that table Guilty by Association, and it cost me a lot of money, and I needed to find nine other friends. So I do appreciate you making up at least, you know, two-thirds, well, not two-thirds, a little bit of the number of the table.
So this is a corporate Big Day Out, was it?
It was a corporate table.
Sorry, that's it, I'm off, bye.
Anyway, we're going to kick off first. It's a track by Kasabian. When we saw this band, they played at the backstage, as if any of you that are listening that had been to the Big Day Out, that was where we found a lot of hidden gems. And Kasabian had really kind of just started peaking a little bit there. They were just starting to show a little bit of what I call cock rock, actually. He was very, very cool that day. It was a moment of time that I think we want to share now. So this is Kasabian, Shoot the Runner.
Yeah.
Shoot the Runner. Oh, my goodness. Do you remember that, Pete?
I do indeed. So do my knees. I found myself stuck in the middle of the mosh pit on that one. The young people were very understanding around me, but God, I needed a break after it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you did bring the average age up a little then,
quite severely.
You?
Yeah.
And Paul, do you remember that afternoon? It was very early on in that. Was that your first
2007?
2007, yeah.
Yep. No, that was my first big day out and first foray up into the top field.
Yes.
It was great.
It was very good. Yeah. But we didn't get in up close like Pete did. We kind of hung around the back a wee bit and just took in the whole scene, right?
That's right.
We didn't want to. Yeah, exactly. A lot of the cool bands that in the moments that I remember about the big day out was seeing some of these new bands, and that's what the big day out was about, right? It's about music. It was about getting some of the old and some of the new and different influences together, and a real potpourri of different kind of musical genres, but most of it was pretty hard rock, wasn't it, Pete?
Yeah, you'd say rock was probably the theme through it, but yeah, that's right, and it was the real appeal around the big day out, was you went there, it was a smorgasbord of music of all sorts.
Yes.
You could sample, as long as you learned how to navigate between one stage and the next, which was often quite a mission. But I mean, for the Kasabian one, for me also, it you know, it was okay. Here's me, older bloke, sweaty, horrible.
Well,
but the youngsters were all quite
yourself.
The youngsters were all quite welcoming of it as well, and I think that was part of it too. That the whole crowd was there to enjoy the day and enjoy the difference of the music. So that was all cool.
Everyone was there because of the music, not of anything else. And I felt that too. And I saw any fights, or it was always pretty low, you know, pretty low key and kind of chilled out. Paul, Richie, you wanted the Ting Tings on, didn't you? Here.
Yeah, I did. I chose another song, I think.
Did you? How come we didn't get your song on?
I think I was overruled on that.
Oh, that's a shame.
This is your favourite.
It's my show, so that's okay.
Oh, ding.
Ding, ding. So, Ting Tings, we're going to play them. It is Keep Your Head. It's off the album, 2007 album, We Started Nothing. So have a listen to that. That just went off.
The room's green, it's got writing on the wall, it's got one chair, it's kind of small, dirty shoes running past the door, and then you go, well, beat yourself up 10 minutes ago, and I wanna go home 10 minutes ago, yeah.
So it just makes me smile hearing that song. It was a stinking hot day as well. I mean, I always think about the big day. It was a time when there was plenty of heat. And we were on the east side of the main stadium. And one of the poignant memories that I had was at around that 6 o'clock, sun setting. The sun was on the face and body while we were listening to some great music and drinking a few beers. I mean, just life couldn't get much better than that. So the main stage was a kind of where we found ourselves around that late afternoon. We did all the work in the back, and then we came around, and then we sat down and started listening to what was playing the main stage. And one of those bands was The Killers, Paul.
Yeah, they were. I mean, that was the first time I'd heard The Killers. It was beginning of a bit of a love story, yeah. I guess, if you like. I had that was my first big day out.
Yes.
I discovered My Chemical Romance as well, which was quite good.
That you loved
started
that?
Started off earlier in the afternoon. And
I
then
think you wanted My Chemical Romance on this playlist, but unfortunately didn't quite make it.
Yeah, I did have a few small songs. But anyway, it was a great introduction, yep, to the big day out. And after My Chemical Romance, then we had The Killers and a great finish later on that night. So Mr. Brightside is one of my all-time favourite Killer songs, and really enjoyed
it. Is
and watching Brandon Flowers, great showman that he was. It was just amazing afternoon.
He was rocking AP, and we saw what I thought was about 30,000 people just heaving a little bit. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. And it wasn't an unusual sight, I guess. Watching that D move, was it, when the bands were cooking and everyone was into it? It was just a great thing to behold, or be part of, if you were organised early enough.
Then we can talk a bit about that later, some of the little things you had to plan for if you really wanted to make it. But I think we'll leave it to The Killers to kind of truck this the show along a little bit. So here they are, Mr. Brightside.
Stay.
when I said to you, I'd like you to talk about this next tree, you don't say no. You just mm-hmm. say, oh, that'd be great, David. I'd love to.
That'd be great, David. I'd love to do that.
Okay.
If you could kick it off, I love this grungy sort of...
Do you? Do you want to talk over it as we go? No. So this was a choice of mine. Muse, Supermassive Black Hole. It just reminded me of a sea of people that were just in sync, jumping up and down, or in the sway of euphoria of music. And Muse, a three piece blowing out that kind of sound, was just incredible. So here they are, Muse, Supermassive Black Hole. Doesn't it just send some shivers up your spine? Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and we've talked to you. You guys just are into music as much as I am. I mean, you love kind of. We have constant discussions, battles, and different views, which is encouraging. But music grabs you and takes you back to a place and time, and that song for me just pulls me right back to the big day out.
For me, because I had a classical music upbringing and I learnt the classical piano for, I think it was 8 years, and Muse was the perfect synergy, if you like, between rock and classical music. So, yeah, just loved Muse, loved discovering them. And the light show and the pyrotechnics as well. It was like a stunning show. So yeah. I think we saw them twice, did we?
Yeah, we did. We did, actually. Yeah.
They were like 2007 and then about four years later.
Yeah, I think that song would have been on the later one where they actually headlined.
Yes.
First time they came through, they were part of that, just after the Killers. You had the Killers, you had Muse, and then you finished with Tool.
Your favourite. Yeah.
Which was just lovely. Yep. You love that run.
You like a bit of light music, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but they had matured too, and listening to that song too, they had that bit more punch to them with the second time around.
Absolutely.
It was cool. I mean, it was, yeah, just amazing. As bands go, there are sometimes little moments in life that... kind of resonate with a particular band that you didn't really know a lot about. In fact, if you were really going to be cool, you'd know a lot about the band that no one else did, which was why I was like at school. I just wanted to show off because I wasn't any good at anything else. But if I could find a good band, and sprout that one, it was really great. So a mate of mine, Wazza, who actually was on our show with Jibber last month, wasn't it? And he introduced me to this band called Spoon. And as you, as parents, you occasionally get the opportunity to share a band that connects with one of your siblings. And Spoon connected with my son James, and we both had an absolute love affair with that.
Can I just say, your son is not your sibling?
Yeah, that's progeny. Well,
yes.
Progeny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good call.
Well, what's a sibling?
Well,
or family?
I think that's called incest.
Three-way.
You can't say three-way on the radio, Paul.
It's a gang up.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Anyway, I was just getting to a little heartfelt moment that's dissipated totally. What I was saying is that Spoon became a band that we both thoroughly enjoyed, and we never thought we'd probably see them too much because they were in Texas, a small band at the time, and they played in the afternoon. And they just brought out this album called Ga Ga Ga. It came out in 2007. And the lead song was one of our favourites, and it's called Underdog, and that's what we're going to play right now.
In the living room, your pipe and slippers set out for you. I know you think that it ain't too far, but I hear a call of a lifetime ring. Felt the need to get up for it. Oh, you cut out the middle man, you creep from the middle man. You got no time for the messenger, got no regard for the thing that you don't. That's why you will not survive. I wanna forget how conviction fits, but can I get out from under it? I got it out of me. It can't all be wedding cake, it can't all be boiled away. I try but I can't let go of it, can't let go of it. Cause you don't talk to the water boy, and there's so much you can learn but you don't wanna know. You will not back up an inch of it. That's why you will not survive. Tell you now, it may not go over well. Oh, and it may not be for the while. No way that I spell it out. But you won't hear from the messenger.
They nearly threw the kitchen sink into that song, didn't they? I mean, from the beginning to the end, just a beautiful track. Great band, thoroughly enjoyable. I'd love to see them again sometime. Maybe one day fly to Texas and see them play there would be up there on my kind of list of things to do. Clearly wouldn't be taking any siblings along, but thanks for that, Simon. And don't say anything else about that, okay? Just let's stop there. We're just going to leave that one. And as the Big Day Out kind of, over the years that we had some amazing shows, there were some not so good ones as well, to be fair. There were a few that, Bjork comes to mind, where I really felt like a little bit of self-harming wouldn't have been so bad, actually.
Why would you say Bjork between Sheehad and Rage Against the Machine?
Exactly. I mean, how could that happen?
Contrast. Yes, it was certainly a contrast.
It was a contrast of, yeah. Anyway, one of the other big shows, the big acts would turn up as people filtered back from the backstages and those that wanted to go into the boiler room, which was just another place in the lily pad, because it's where you guys met each other kind of formally there, didn't you, a wee bit
more?
Yeah,
we did. It was a tender time, as I recall.
We consummated our relationship there, I think, over quiet ale.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's quite the right term, but certainly that was good fun. Yeah, and it was nice to...
Better than sibling.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember meeting Paul and just standing next to him in the lily pad, listening to whatever weird stuff was happening there at the time.
I think it was
Rico. Having a quiet beer, and it was just a nice calm presence beside me, and I thought, actually, I quite like this guy.
But, really?
Yeah.
Sounds a bit of man love right there. It was a moment in time again. Yeah. The Big Day Out kind of brought you guys together. Fantastic. You might remember the Silent Disco as well. Do you remember those? It just looked so silly. People with headphones dancing and no one could hear any music except
them. I paid no attention to that.
I tried that once, but it looked pretty stupid, actually. And then there was a bubble room as well. You remember the
bubbles?
There
was a misting tent. I don't remember the bubble room, though.
There was it wasn't a room. It was like lots of bubbles outside and you could walk through them.
Oh.
Anyway, during the evening, that is when some of the big acts, and we talked about Sheehad just before, and they tended to be, to me, around 6 o'clock and get the party started. A band that I just genuinely think that out of probably any of the bands that we saw there, this band Rammstein, was it Rammstein, Pete?
I have no idea. I'm too scared to say anything.
Simon, I mean, but talk me through, do you think it's Rammstein or Rammstein?
I think it's the same as potpourri and potpourri.
I said potpourri. Is that not factually...
I think you could say both pronunciations, yes, but
we know who you're talking about, Dave.
Okay, so we're talking about Rammstein.
Focus on the music.
We, and Paul, you used to play quite a bit of Guitar Hero to the song. Is that true?
I did, exactly. Yeah, my kids, my children, and I know my siblings, I definitely remember discovering this song, Du Hast, by Rammstein, with my son Ben playing Guitar Hero.
Yes.
I think he was better than me at it, but we both just really enjoyed playing that track over and over again. I know my daughter Georgia, she was really good at another track. It was A Punk by Vampire Weekend, but yeah, Ben and I kept going back to Du Hast. So actually hearing it live was just a stunning, stunning concert.
Mm. And Pete, you're a bit of a fan as well. I mean, you love that driving, kind of what I call industrial metal, right? They are amazing band.
I'm pretty sure the first time I heard these guys was actually in the soundtrack for the movie Triple X with old Vin Diesel and stuff.
Oh, right.
I actually had them performing at one point.
Yeah.
And just, flames coming out and that whole Germanic sort of rock heavy stuff, where the, in a way, the, for me anyway, the words became irrelevant because it was just a noise. It was like another instrument, and it growled, and it was angry, and it was aggressive.
And it was in German.
And it was just wonderful. And I absolutely love this track and love a lot of their work. It's great stuff.
I also think there were two young ladies behind us that really loved that track as well, actually the whole night.
Well, you spent most of the night looking at it.
I didn't know. I wasn't. And that's just not factually true. Anyone that's listened to this, isn't that's wrong. But
I missed it.
I loved you called it out.
We'll move on, Dave.
Okay. So we're going to play Du Hast by Rammstein. Delicateness at the end with driving dirty guitars all the way through that track. I remember the next morning I woke up and I thought, crikey, my neck's a bit sore, and I know why, because I was just what Paul, I was just
nodding motion.
Yeah, I was like, Ramstein even. Honestly, it was just head bashing all the way through. I just loved that. It was really good, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And the theatrics were amazing. Well,
that was, I think, what I remember is just sort of how different they were in their sense. It was like opera. It was like theatre.
It was
on the stage as well. But underneath it all, of course, was the great rock music.
So the Big Day Out also gave opportunities for New Zealand bands to shine a little bit in front of quite large audiences, and there are a number of them. We chose one band to represent New Zealand bands, and it was LMNOP.
Yes. There were many options.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think that was one of the challenges with the Big Day Out. You know, for me, you'd get the calendar. You'd have a look at who's playing where and what stages, and you'd try and work out what your day was going to be like, because there'd be those up-and-coming or weird stuff from overseas that you might find some jewels in. Mm. You've got the big grunters that you know are going to be in the boiler room or on the main stages. And then you've got the New Zealand bands who, possibly in some case for the first time, are playing to bigger outdoor crowds than they've done before.
So bands like Pluto, I remember seeing them, but LMNOP and Simon, your friend Lani Perkis was a bass player and singer in that band as well, wasn't she?
Yes.
Right. She's a good friend, clearly. But no, I did meet her. She was on you had a radio show, and she was on it twice.
That's right, in one of those episodes we recorded at your penthouse apartment and then Metropolis.
which was a bed set, wasn't it? with a bed and a window, and that was it. So, but it was nice that you turned up and we did a show there.
Yeah, and you hid behind the bed the whole time.
I did. I was laughing a lot at the time, I think.
I wasn't laughing. The sound that I heard wasn't laughter.
It's okay. So we'll just play LMNOP right now. There. And just before we did, lovely wife, Robbie, had some association with
this band. Well, yes, she probably doesn't realise it, but I think back in the 2000s, Spark got the new Spark logo.
Right.
And I think around that time they did a bit of marketing and used LMNOP.
Yes.
So I remember seeing LMNOP two or three times live, sometimes at those corporate events, but, you know, at the Big Day Out as well. And there's many tracks you could choose from these guys, but this one is really good. Love it.
Verona.
Yes.
When I saw you in Verona, you sat down, I moved over. Pretty people, but all I saw was you. And yes, it's you I'm rating. The boy you're dating. In my opinion, he isn't right for you. Sunday afternoon.
happy, poppy, and backfield stuff is pretty good rock and roll to me.
Yep.
Paul?
No, I just love them.
Sorry, it was that bit of dead air. We've never had dead radio air before, have we, Simon?
That was dead air.
I was dead air. It wasn't me.
I was gathering my thoughts. And what I was going to say was they were very reminiscent of Green Day, who I also love.
Yes.
And that was a super tick for me. Was just, I love that beat, that upbeat tempo, the positivity.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
That's why Simon William Todd likes Green Day as well. He loves them.
So I hear.
Yes. So going back, sometimes you had to sacrifice some bands to get to the bands that you really wanted. And if you were ever at the Big Day Out, to get from the backfield to the front field to the main stages, to get from the boiler room to the main stage was a bloody nightmare, to be honest. And you had to really get your timing right. I desperately wanted to see this next artist, being Neil Young.
But you couldn't leave your corporate table, could you?
Well,
there was too many.
We did.
Bottles of sparkling water there.
Well, we had to pay for everything. Well, the only good thing about a corporate table was, one, you could drink beer there and not have to, and you could watch the show. The second thing was that there was nice clean toilets. Clean toilets. Well worth the money that we spent. No queues.
And a bag check, of course.
And a bat check as well. Bag check.
Yes. Well, you know,
and you could wear your suit with your top button undone.
There was no suit, Simon. It wasn't one of those. I don't know why you keep doing that. Pete, you were in the D for this one.
Yeah, we've talked. Yeah, and to Simon's point, I suppose.
Some of Simon's show,
they did
Pete.
Sit back.
Just saying.
You know, there were people who sat back and looked, and that's okay to enjoy the music that way and hear it. But there's also those fairly committed mob who would continuously go for the mosh pit, aiming for the D, that great institution. But yeah, certainly had to organise yourself well ahead of time. These things, you had to be in there by sort of 6:30,
yep,
so that you could see the band that was going to play at 9:30, because you couldn't get in.
So you were there. Paul and I were running from Hot Chip from memory in the boiler room. We were racing over Wazza and Gibber and Carl, and there's a whole lot of other mates that would turn up at the table. This show was amazing. Neil Young's been a big part of my life, and I think for all of us. And you didn't want the song, Paul, from memory.
Cinnamon, there was a few others. There was My My Hey Hey, I thought.
And the other one?
Heart of Gold.
Heart of Gold. A little bit emotional.
Yeah,
there.
No, well, it was emotional. There was a few bands where I teared up, and this was one of them. We watched it up in the corporate area, which is very nice.
I was down much closer to the stage.
Yeah, and probably missed quite a bit. But anyway, we watched it. I watched a lot of it on the big screen, and yes, definitely a tearful moment. It was just, you know, the soundtrack of your life, more or less.
It kind of was, and you're with your mates where, you know, some others were in the D by themselves.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
saying.
But this is your classic.
Anyway, Pete, we're just going to play the song.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. We'll be right back. can skip the big league guitar finish, like droning on a wee bit. But you were right there, Pete, in the D.
Oh, love that.
Amazing.
Right up some shots. Pretty just cool. That style, of, I can see it right now. I'm sort of rocking backwards and forwards, hammering away on the guitar.
Not Beautiful. Sure if that's because of the music, but that's okay.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, but that was, yeah, you had to, if you're going to be in the D for the bands like that,
yep.
You had to be there early. And Rage Against the Machine was one I recall where you really had to, well, I was with my youngest daughter. It was her first trip up to the big day out, good old Kirsten.
Yep.
On the way over, we'd been camping at Ha Ha, flipped across, and we were listening to a CD. And so the Killers, Mr. Brightside, was on it. That's always been a special song for us. It's something we associated with going to Big Day Out together. And we both wanted to see Rage Against the Machine, different spectrums, I suppose. She was only 14, 15 maybe at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But knew we had to get in there early. So sort of 6 o'clock, we're in there with bottles of water and bits and pieces, just waiting for the main act to come through. And it was just manic when they hit the stage. Because they'd broken up, I think, early 2000s. And they'd reformed. I think they played a couple of gigs in the US before they came out to this big day out. So it was pretty fresh for them. And everybody was just gagging to hear them. And it was just great. And you could tell they were having an absolute ball.
And it went off.
Oh, magnificent.
So the little moments of time. So why don't we just throw this one on now? Rage Against the Machine. Right, I mean, Rage Against the Machine, and people were raging a lot from memory.
Yeah.
So thinking about some of the other bands that we saw, and there, are, you know, I want to get you guys back, probably not this year, because
no,
have other friends come on, but maybe next year, and we could do a little dig deeper into the big day out and find some other bands. There's so many bands that I wanted to have Jim Jones review. I wanted Plan B in there, but you wouldn't let me do that, even though it's my show.
I think I'm busy that day.
Is that Simon? Are you? So yeah. It's not one of our better shows, this one, is it?
Well, it's good, but I think one time's enough.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Right, so no more big day out
just
ever.
Put your thinking cap on.
All right, well, come on some other time.
Another corporate event you went to.
You could ask your friends.
We had to race away. I forget the band that we were watching.
Who was it?
Neil Young.
Yeah. And we raced to the boiler room and we saw this next band. So lucky to see them. Again, a band that reformed, Pete.
Absolutely, but you had to make that call, didn't you, about the rock stage versus the boiler room. Some great bands.
Yep.
Remember my very first year up there, which before I think I connected up with you guys in terms of the big day out, the Chemical Brothers were playing the boiler room. And I can't remember who it was I sacrificed off the main stage, but I wasn't missing Chemical Brothers.
And nor should you. And we weren't going to miss this band either, The Prodigy.
Yes.
We were sandwiched in the boiler room. It was stinking hot. There was sweat dripping off the ceiling. The Prodigy were just going off, and I, as in many times, I thoroughly enjoyed that, and it was a great gig. Any final thoughts? Because we are, you know, as always, this hour seems to go so quickly. What I have enjoyed, though, Pete, during the whole course of this radio show, is you're thumping on the table. We're getting some good thudding sound going through.
That's all right.
Yeah,
appreciate
that. I quite like that. We haven't had that before. We haven't had a thudder on the show before, Simon. No. So I want to say thank you so much, Paul and Pete. Best buddies coming up and spending a bit of time with me talking about and reminiscing the big day out. I always thought it was going to never stop. I really wanted it to continue. That was probably one of the saddest moments, I think, in 2012, because I got the T-shirt that they stopped. Oh. Did you get any T-shirts?
No, I was too busy watching the live music to, you know, buy the paraphernalia of the corporates.
And Pete, did you get anything from the big day out at all? Yeah, you had a hat.
You got a bucket hat.
T-shirts. Mm-hmm.
Far too many T-shirts.
I've got far too many as well.
You just get carried away.
You just got to have them, though.
Yeah, but also, I think, in terms of that, good kudos to you, too, making that call of setting something up and getting a group of people together and keeping it there. Bold move. Worked really well. And meant lots of really good people through that process.
Yes, so if you hadn't done that, you know, I wouldn't have had, you know, such amazing experiences. Probably, I don't know, six or seven big day outs and Auckland City Limits. So,
yes,
mate, it was awesome.
It was very cool. And it was, and let's hope that we might get some more in the end. And we all, when we're talking about bookending our show, we had to have Noel Gallagher and the High Flying Birds, Simon. If it was slightly drizzly, because I did have a few tears in my eyes, it was tough.
It was appropriate. It was sort of, you know, there was this misty, drizzly sort of atmospheric thing going on, and you had this perfect song to end.
Yes, and I think we can just ease it in as we say our goodbyes. Don't look back in anger. It's playing, Simon. I've just popped it on. There we go. Look, there we go. Thanks again, guys, for coming along. It's great to have you here and a little bit of nostalgia to look back on.
Absolutely.
And thanks, Simon, too. So I started revolution from